This is a CBC podcast.
Can you smell that? The Rock is back, and he says pro wrestling is cool again. I'm Anis Haidari, and this is Calgary, and we're talking about the show of shows, the grandest stage of them all, the showcase of the immortals. No, not the Calgary Stampede. Those taglines are all for WrestleMania, and this weekend is the 40th one ever. WrestleMania is when World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, stacks a carefully choreographed lineup. The card features the biggest wrestling rivals with scores to settle. In the middle of it all is actor Dwayne Johnson, former wannabe Calgary Stampeder. He's back playing his old persona of The Rock. Oh, and he's a bad guy this time. A heel, as they're known.
I feel like my whole life has been leading up to this moment, Anis. I was a little skeptical on The Rock coming back as a bad guy, no less. He's playing the role just beautifully.
We have a big wrestling fan in our midst, producer Josh Page.
Twice a week, my friend. SmackDown on Fridays, of course. Raw on Mondays. They're on the television. You build your life around it. I fold my laundry during the commercials on Mondays. This is Calgary, baby. The Hart family is from here. There's Stampede Wrestling. We have roots in this city. Bret Hart's niece, Natalia, she's still carrying the mail for the family in WWE. Of course, maybe you've heard of the Dungeon. Well, Natty, as they call her, has made a new one. And the ladder match, even 50-some-odd years ago, was invented right here in Calgary. Uh-huh. Get excited with me, Anis. It's WrestleMania weekend.
You know it's fake, right?
It is not fake. It is choreographed. The bumps and the bruises and the broken bones are real. And I will say there was definitely a time where people were in denial of this. Oh, it's not fake. Now, you lean into it. You lean into the storytelling. You lean into trying to guess where they're going with different parts and who's going to do this and who's going to stab who in the back. So the accepted sort of, yeah, the storylines are made up, now plays into the fun more than it is this sort of funny denial period that we used to live in.
I mean, there's a reason you can call it The Young and the Wrestler, right? It's all written. It's all planned.
Boo. Boo this man.
Look. Regardless of whether you're in it for the stories or for the wrestling itself, it sounds like it's a fun thing to watch, and it's a really fun time to be a wrestler, too. Kat Von Hees wrestles in the Can-Am wrestling promotion. They're based here in Calgary, and you can catch her at local venues throwing people around. Hi, Kat. Thanks for joining us. First, I want you to tell us about your in-ring persona.
I would just say, definitely kind of like a ring general. I've always been quite aggressive, pretty stoic, rather intimidating. No matter the scene, it's really no different for me. I just go in and I'm aggressive with every person I'm in the ring with, whether I'm a little bit more aggressive at times, depending on the environment I'm in. But generally speaking, I'm a ring general.
How did you first get into this world? What got you into wrestling?
So, as a child, I really liked watching it with my babysitter, actually. We didn't really have it on TV or the channels at home, so I watched it a lot when I was really young. Then there was that hiatus where, obviously, you're old enough to watch yourself, so I didn't really have access to it again until I was probably around 13.
Okay.
And I started watching DVDs from my local movie rental shop. And I really got into watching, actually, the match that kind of got me back into it was Randy Orton and Mick Foley. Actually, I think it was an Edmonton match here, a Backlash pay-per-view.
Oh, cool.
And I watched the match three times and I was like, oh my God, I love this.
So you go to your local Blockbuster, you rent this DVD of a match happening in Edmonton, and
yeah,
that's what sort of relights the fire for you.
Yeah. And then I went back and I rented a bunch of pay-per-view DVDs. Got addicted to watching Chris Jericho, who is from Winnipeg. And I went through a little bit of a phase where I was like, I'm not sure I can do this or don't even know where to start. So I kind of got into amateur wrestling when I was in high school, which kind of changed my trajectory in terms of my health and my fitness level at that point, because my background technically originally was a kid was a 5-pin bowler. So I kind of transitioned into something a little bit more aggressive.
a smidge more aggressive. How much fun are you having getting to do this right now? I mean, wrestling has become more popular than ever by some measures. So how does that translate for you? How much fun is this?
It's, I would say, first off, super unexpected. I mean, I got to the point, I think, before COVID where things were kind of, it felt like it was winding down and it was losing steam. And I felt really kind of like, well, I guess this is it. Like, if I can't get to that next level, or if I can't move, I'm kind of done. And then post COVID, I was like, well, this is not going to last long. This is like, I got to take advantage of this. This is like 6 months and this isn't going on anymore. And here we are like 3 years later, basically. And, you know, I'm doing approximately like 10 matches a month on average, and, you know, having opportunities that I wish I had had earlier. And I'm super excited to see like what else there is that could happen. And I'm hoping to travel a lot more in terms of internationally for myself in the next year, and kind of get back out into the United States, into the Mexican markets, as well as try to go to Europe this time, because it just seems like there's a lot more passion. So it's really exciting. And I'm really happy, mainly because the next generation of wrestlers, while they maybe don't see how lucky they are, this is really good for them to grow at a speed that other generations in the last little bit haven't been able to do. And hopefully we'll see a lot of Canadian wrestlers get opportunities to make this a full-time career and get noticed. And that's what I'm really excited for.
That is Kat Von Hees. She's a wrestler in Calgary's Can-Am wrestling promotion. Now, behind Can-Am is its co-owner, Otto Gentile, and his business partner, Ed Anderson. Otto has been at this since the late 80s. So you know this renaissance of wrestling, it means a little bit extra to him. Hi, Otto. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We are in a little bit of a moment right now. Professional wrestling is incredibly popular. The yes. WWE, I keep wanting to call it WWF. WWE keeps bragging about attendance records. And we will get to all of that. But I want to talk about you first.
Okay.
How did you get involved in wrestling?
How did I get involved? It started way back when my uncle first took me to a wrestling show here in Calgary. And of course, it's the famous Stampede Wrestling.
That's a name a lot of people are going to know.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, my love for it from there just took off. I was pretty big into sports. I played hockey for 25 years. I had a chance to go over to Italy to play pro in Italy with Milan Red Devils.
Oh, cool.
Unfortunately, my agent screwed that up. Back then, they were only allowed two imports, but I have dual citizenship, and he didn't know that at the time. So after that happened, I was in great shape. I said, to hell with this. Let's go and start my training with wrestling.
So an immigration flub.
Yeah.
Kills the hockey dream.
Yeah.
Gets you into wrestling. What was your stage name when you were wrestling?
Vinny Fever.
Vinny Fever. Okay, yeah. It's a little different from Otto.
Yeah.
So you were basically John Travolta in wrestling form.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And I had, you know what, and I had so much fun with it. And to this day, people remember that. So I must have been doing it okay, I guess.
When you got to be Vinny Fever, what did you love the most about being in that role?
Not having to be myself. I was a character. And I had so much fun. It was like a different part of me, a different person, right?
It's a bit of a shift from hockey,
yeah,
as athleticism, because I mean, you have to be in good shape to be a wrestler, but you can see it visually, right? The shape of wrestlers' bodies is different from the shape of hockey players' bodies.
Oh yeah, of course.
But also there's this whole other aspect of what you're doing. You have to perform. How hard was it for you to develop that from being a hockey player and everything else you were doing?
It really wasn't that hard because in hockey, I was always on a top line and a centerman to boot. So I was making plays. So pretty much wrestling is kind of the same thing. You're out there as a performer. Being a good guy is tougher than being a heel, a bad guy. Because being a good guy, you have to get that crowd behind you to make, you know, you rise up. Being a heel is easy. You cheat, you know, poke in the eyes, give them a low blow, whatever. But that's, you want to garner that reaction from the crowd.
I want to play something for you.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me what goes through your head when you hear this clip.
Calgary Stampede when it was Brett, Jim Anvil Neidhart, Owen, Brian Pillman against Stone Cold. And I can't remember who else was with him, but I just remember that was just incredible.
You're name dropping a lot of famous folks to our listeners here.
Absolutely.
Bret Hart, the Hart family.
Huge.
Big part of wrestling.
Very well, big part of Calgary.
Where does Calgary fit in to professional wrestling over these years?
I think Calgary was the birthplace of professional wrestling in Canada just because of who Stu Hart was, who Bruce Hart was, the original storyteller. And more or less, that's what we base ourselves on. Can-Am Wrestling bases ourselves on trying to tell a story to engage the fans to want to come back the next time to see what's going to happen, right? And I think that's what wrestling is and should be. There should always be a story that connects with the fans.
Tell me a little bit about Can-Am. How often do you folks do shows? Tell me about your business.
Can-Am Wrestling, like I said, started 25 years ago. We went from the Queen Charlotte Islands out west to Hamilton, Ontario, out east. And we did tours in the Yukon and the Northwest Territories. Death tours, we've done those. We've crossed seven lakes to get to communities up north in the Northwest Territories. So I understand those death tours very, very well. Can-Am really started as something that wasn't there anymore. Stampede Wrestling wasn't there. So we started Can-Am Wrestling in order to have wrestling back in the city. We started at of all places, the Back Alley Nightclub. Now, back
then,
that's
a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, no doubt, right? And back then, we were doing slamming and jamming. So we would be the opening act for Cheap Trick, for Lover Boy, for stuff like that, right? So it was kind of cool because we were getting 500 to 700 people every show, which was a neat experience. And being able to get up there as the host and sing with these guys was awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a cool show. It sounds like a good time. How many shows are you doing? Because it sounds like a backbreaking schedule. That's bad luck, I guess, when you're talking about wrestling.
Well, we break our backs daily.
Yeah.
Right now, we're doing 4 shows a month.
It competes a little bit with the schedule of the biggest guys, right? The WWE with Raw and SmackDown. And there's, you know, multiple shows every week. And of course, we've got WrestleMania coming up, which we'll get to. But I'm curious, how does the current popularity and volume of stuff out of the big guys, you know, WWE, AEW, how does that affect a local outfit like yours?
Well, it spills over. Like the people that are loving wrestling now, they want to see it live. And with our show being a all-ages family entertainment show, we get 6 years old all the way to 99 years old coming to watch our shows.
Yeah.
It's super.
The popularity of the big guys doesn't take away from you. It's sort of feeding into the ecosystem.
You definitely don't want to plan on working when they're in town because that'll spoil your crowd for sure.
Yeah.
But definitely it helps with the popularity that's going on right now. It spills over to the independents. And the independents, you got to understand, these are the guys that want to make it to where the big guys are. So we always say, come see the superstars of tomorrow today.
How many of those superstars of today have you rubbed shoulders with?
Oh, I could tell you. Actually, when I started in the business back in 88, I went through a training camp with Rick Titan. I don't know if you remember Rick Titan, the second Razor Ramon.
Oh, you're ringing a few bells here.
Lance Storm.
This is really dialing back to when I was a kid.
Lance Storm. You're going to know the next one, Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, the training camp was not easy, and they beat the living hell out of me. And they had Japanese wrestlers from FMW at the time, because my trainer was Steve Gillespie, and he was Dr. Hannibal in Japan.
I imagine that your physiotherapist...
loves me.
Yeah, you're very popular in that office.
Actually, my last match, which was in 2022, we did a big thing at the Victoria Pavilion, a two-day event. And my last match was a tag team cage match. And
I'm just like, my body is cringing as you even talk about that. Like,
I didn't even know that I had done it, but I tore both my shoulders. And I didn't find out till 3 months later when I couldn't move my arms.
We were talking with some other wrestlers earlier in the show, and we're talking about women's wrestling in particular. The women's division in WWE has gotten really popular, really popular. How does that translate to local audiences and to local promotions like yours?
The women's division in WWE is absolutely stacked with incredibly talented women. We are lucky that we have gotten a few women. And I mean, there's some incredible performers here in Canada. We have Kat Von Hees. She was the women champion for Lute Academy. I don't know if you guys have heard Lute Academy. It's Jacques Rougeau. And what they give away is $10,000 and a chance to train at the Nightmare Factory for 3 months.
And we spoke with Kat earlier in the show.
Yeah, she was. She's incredible. We call her the German powerhouse for a reason. Like, she'll knock the head off a guy in a matter of seconds.
I'm glad didn't tick her off then.
Exactly. I mean, and then there's another relentless Riley Rose, being the youngest ever champion in Can-Am wrestling history, won the title when she was 16.
You know, women have been in this industry for a long time. Yes. I can remember women wrestlers from when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a little bit more attention on them now.
Well, of course.
Is it overdue? Has it always been there and we just didn't notice?
Yes, man. It's way overdue because these women are very talented. Just, they're performers like any other guy. And they deserve their spot on the shows for sure. We just crowned a new champion on Friday, the matriarch Sage Mo. She's a First Nations wrestler from Turtle Island. And just watching her grow through the ranks here has been incredible, and I'm very, very honored that she's with us right now.
I can sense a lot of your excitement about all of these up-and-comers that you're talking about and your own business. There's a lot of momentum right now.
Yes.
For you, for the big guys, for audiences, clearly there's lots for them to see because, I mean, wrestling has been around forever. It has these ups and downs. How does it stay up?
That's a challenging question, but when you have guys like The Rock coming back after so many years, you have Bad Bunny, you have Mike Tyson, you have all these actors and people that are outside of the sport that come into the sport and want to give it validation, which is absolutely incredible. And I mean, some of these guys that are coming in to do a match at WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, and then they perform the way they do, is absolutely phenomenal.
I've got one last question for you.
Absolutely.
And this is partly directed at any parents who are listening. But what would you say to parents who don't let their kids watch wrestling?
Give it a try. Come and see a live show, because I guarantee you we will change your mind.
Well, Otto, I had a lot of fun talking to you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, man. This was a blast.
Otto Gentile is the owner of Can-Am Wrestling. It's a promotion based here in Calgary. WWE's WrestleMania is this weekend on both Saturday and Sunday.
It's going to be the best weekend of my life.
I just feel like this is me if 7 Star Trek movies came out at once. I'm super excited for you,
Josh. Try a dozen Star Trek movies at once. That's how big it is.
We'll talk about this when we do the Star Trek podcast. That's always babyface, never heel producer, Josh Page. Mac Meyer makes us pop. Tracy Johnson takes the heat as our boss. And in excellence of execution, I'm your host, Anis Haidari. And this is Calgary, the Stampede Wrestling City. New episodes drop every Wednesday on the CBC Listen app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.